Today's share is Masechta Bava Kama, Daf Kuf. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tzadik Tes on the Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara Itmar, Hamar Dina L'Shulchani, if somebody shows a coin to a money changer, and the purpose of doing so is that the money changer should make a determination regarding the value of the coin, or if the coin is a coin that is acceptable, is the currency, etc. And nimtzara, and then it turns out that the money changer actually made an error. He said that the coin is a good coin, and it was actually not. Tani chada, one brisa says that umen pater, that because we're dealing with an individual who is a professional, so the halacha is that he's pater. And Tan Hedjit, because he's an Uman, he did the best he can, and he will not be held responsible. And the other price, but if he's a Hedjit, if he's a person who is not qualified to make this type of determination, he'll be chayiv. He should have never undertaken this type of a job. The Tan Yidach, Bein Uman, Bein Hedjit, chayiv. Both of them are chayiv. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa. So how do we reconcile these two brises? Amra Papa explains, Rav Papa, Ki Tanya Umen Potter, the brise that says that the Umen is Potter, you're going Dankoy V'Isser. Dankoy V'Isser apparently were the two biggest experts in this field. So since they were the two biggest experts in this field, so they, the Light Sri Chilamigma Klal, they did not have to study anymore, they knew the field, and therefore, if they made a mistake, it was something that was obviously beyond their control. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, and they're such big experts, Elba Maitai. So ask the Gemara, so how indeed did they make such a mistake if they're such big experts? Says the Gemara, Ta b'sik secharata. There was an entirely new coin that came into circulation, which they were not at all aware of, that he shot the Nafim Tusei Siksa. It was at that moment where the mint produced that new coin. And since it was at that moment that the mint produced that new coin, they had no way of knowing it. And that's why they cannot be held responsible. So the Mordechai explains that when we're speaking here about them being held responsible for a coin that was not good anymore, says the Mordechai, was speaking about a case that the coin, we spoke about this previously, the coins in those days were dependent on the metal in the coin, and that metal had rubbed out, and they made a mistake. Because we learned earlier that if you just cause that the image on the coin should go away, should be rubbed out, that would not make anybody be considered a mazik. Another teretz that the Taisha says is that, and we're going to speak about this, is if the person who you contract clearly stipulates that he's not taking responsibility if he makes a mistake, then the halacha is that he's not held responsible. So the question is, why doesn't the Gemara just say that these individuals, this was their business, but they would tell people that we won't be held responsible. Says Tosfos that the Gemara perhaps could have said this, but the Gemara wants to teach us a chiddush. That halacha that I just said, that if the people who are asked to do something say explicitly we're not taking responsibility, that's a halacha that we know and we'll discuss. But here we're teaching a bigger chiddush, that even if they didn't make that stipulation, given that they were the biggest experts, and therefore if they made a mistake, we have to understand that the mistake is a legitimate mistake. So the Gemara wanted to teach us that the chiddush. Says the Gemara, there was a woman who showed a dinner to Rav Chiya to inspect it if it's good and can be used. Amalo Malihi. And Rabbi Chiya said it's a fine coin. Lamach Asal Kameh. The next day she came in front of, to him, and Amrla, and she said to him, Achzite, I showed this coin to other people. Vermali, they actually told me, Bishahu, it's not a good coin. V'leikanufgali, and it's not in circulation. Amalei l'Rav, so he said to Rav, Zil chalfinela, Amalei, go switch it. V'ksav apinkasei, and write on my ledger that Dame Isak Bishu. This was a bad transaction. I should have never looked at the coin because the coin ended up costing me money. So I saw that the Satmar Rebbe says that how do we understand this Gemara? He says that every person has to make. He says, where do we find that a person who has a ledger keeps track? He keeps track of his income. He keeps track of his losses. But where do we find that he writes next to his income or his loss, this was a good business deal, this was a not such a good business deal? So he explains that every person, especially tzaddikim, what they're supposed to do is every day make a cheshbon hanefesh. What did I do today? Did I do the right thing or do I do the wrong thing? And think about the various things that he did. If he, what he did was an Asik Bish, or what he did was something appropriate. And that's what Rav Chiya was writing down. Rav Chiya was not writing down just the financial element of his business deal here. Was it a good business deal? Was it a bad business deal? What Rav Chiya was writing, as we're learning, a person who acts in this way is actually a mazik. And Rav Chiya certainly did not want to be considered a mazik. And he felt very much that he has to do tshuva. And since he has to do tshuva, therefore he wrote it down, the Ferat Cheshbon HaNefesh, says the Gemara. But now we have a question. Why Danka and Isser, when they evaluated the coin incorrectly, were potter? Because they were biggest experts. So ask the Gemara, Rav Chiya Nami Lav Lamigmar Kaboy, didn't Rav Chiya also have to, it wasn't Rav Chiya certainly an expert? And I saw the Mefarshim say, how do we know that Rav Chiya was an expert? So, because the Rajba says, if he weren't an expert, he would have never undertaken to do something. That's not the way a Rav Chiya would have acted. If he took upon himself that he's going to look at coins, then he must have been an expert. And furthermore, says the Rajba, just because Danka and Isser were the two greatest experts in their time, doesn't mean that you have that what we're learning now is whatever the halach is by an expert only is by the greatest expert. As long as the person who's doing what he's doing is an expert, that's good enough. So ask the Gemara, why did Rav Chiya have to pay? Says the Gemara, the reason Rav Chiya paid was the Lefnim Meshur Suda Ovid. He went beyond what the halacha requires. And where do we find that there's such a appropriate behavior? Ketanah Rabbi Yosef, the Braisa says that Yisroi advised Moshe Rabbeinu for the Hadat Lemes Haderech Yel Chubo V'Samasa Shiyasun. So explains the Gemara that the Pasuk is teaching us, V'dat Lehem Zeh Beis Chayayim, that a person is supposed to learn Torah. As Haderech teaches us that we have to do Gemil of Chasadim. Yelchu teaches us that we have to do Beik HaChayim. Bo is Kvura. As Hamas is a Hadin, that we have to have a system of Din between people. And the last is Ashiyasu Zeh Lefnim Meshur Sadin, that a person is supposed to go Lefnim Meshur Sadin, even above and beyond what the halacha, above and beyond what the halacha requires. So the Mashah explains why, when the pasuk says as haderech, do do we say it means Gemilas Chasadim? Because HaDerech means that great special way, the Derech Hashem. And as the Pasuk says the Marsha, the Pasuk says, Achrei Hashem Alekechem Telechu, we should follow the way of Hashem. So ask the Gemara, V'chi Efshel Adnam Lahalech Ach Hashkina, can we follow what HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol? V'al Kfad Nemar, doesn't the Pasuk say, Ki Hashem Alekecha Eish Achlehu? What it means is, Hailech Acha Midoisov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to follow the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu Mal B'Sharumim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly is acting with incredible chesed, we have to follow that way. So when it says HaDerech, it means to do chesed. But then ask the Mashab, why do we have to explain that Yelchbo means Kvura? What pushes us to say that it refers to Kvura? So he says that Yelchbo, when as many times it's stated, when somebody does chesed, many times his expectation is that if I do a chesed for somebody, he'll repay me with a chesed. But when you do chesed for a nifter, for a person who left the world, that's a chesed shalemis. And that's what the pasuk says, yelchu ba. Ba, you go for the pure sense of chesed. So, of course, the question is, ba's kvura is for the pure sense of just doing it l'shem shemayim. So the question, of course, is that the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia asks, that isn't Bikacholim a form of chesed? So why is it necessary to single out Bikacholim? So the Gemara answers that if somebody visits someone who's Ben Giloy means that they're the same age, same mazel, the person who's visiting and the person who is sick. So we would think then that person could takes away part of the disease. So now the question is that I wouldn't maybe want to visit such a person. It could adversely affect me. That's why Bikacholim is singled out. So then the Gemara asks, what about Kvura? Isn't Kvura a form of Chesed? And again, why is Kvura singled out? So the Gemara says that normally in the performance of mitzvahs, the halacha is that when we perform a mitzvah, we could say zakavein l'fi kvaydai. That sometimes it's not befitting that I should do a certain mitzvah, I'm exempt. But when we speak about the mitzvah of kvuras ameis, everybody is obligated to do them, even if the person is of a great kind person. The question is that how far do we say that Bikacholim is a mitzvah? We know that there's always a concept of a oisik b'mitzvah, pata min a mitzvah. So what is the halacha of Bikacholim? If somebody is busy doing Bikacholim, is he exempt from doing a mitzvah, another mitzvah? And I saw that there are those that suggest that Bikacholim is certainly in that category. And if we look in the Halchas Gedolos, the Baal Halchas Gedolos mentions all the mitzvahs separately, and he singles out Bikacholim and Kfuras Meis as separate mitzvahs. And there are those that suggest that the reason he does so is because he wants to prove that it's such a mitzvah that we say that it's Oisik B'Mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs does not separate out these mitzvahs. He says that all of these mitzvahs are included in V'Ahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha. As a Maisa Zuadin, so ask the Masha, why do we say that the word Maisa refers to Din? So he says, because living with Din is Hamaisa, is the way a Jew is supposed to live. Ashiyasu zulufnim shesedin, because ashiyasu means that they should do on their own. So as the halacha is, a dayan could paskin according to the din. A dayan cannot force somebody to do lefnim mishuras adin. So that's why shiyasu, something that they should do on their own. Rabbi Yosef Engel, in the Sefer Gyonei HaShas, says that whenever the pasuk uses the word asher, it means voluntary. So when the Torah says here, ashiyasu, it means that it must be something which is just voluntary. The Ramah, as we mentioned before, quotes the Beis Yosef, that Beis Din cannot force any party to go lefnim mishuras hadin, even though they think that that's the right thing to do. Because, he says, it's based on our Gemara. Our Gemara says that Beis Din said that he is a mumcha, and he doesn't have to pay. Rav Chiya paid. So we see, but Beis Din himself can't pay. But the Ramah quotes a Mordechai. And the Ramah says that the Mordechai says a very big chiddush. That if Beis Din sees that the person in front of them, who according to the din is not chayiv, but lefnim mishuras hadin, he should be paying. And he's an individual who has the financial means to pay. So the Ramah quotes the Mordechai that under those circumstances, Beis Din can force them to pay. So I saw, we just learned, as a derech, as yel chba, as zu bikachaylim. What does it mean, as a derech, as yel chba, zu bikachaylim? So I saw that the mefarshim explained that if somebody comes to mevaker chayla, if somebody comes to visit an individual who is unfortunately not well, it's a very big mitzvah. But what is also a very big mitzvah is that if you see that that person is not feeling well, or the doctors and nurses are in the middle of giving that person treatment, what the smart thing to do is to leave. And that's what the Gemara is saying. As a derech, yelchba, what's the derech that a person who's being vakachayla should do? Yelchba, when he sees that it's appropriate, yelchu, he should leave visiting the chayla if that's what's best for the chayla at that moment. Says the Gemara, Rish Lakish achle din al Rabbi Lazar. Rish Lakish showed a coin to Rabbi Lazar and see if it's good or not. Amar and Rabbi Lazar said, Ma'alihu, it's a fine coin. Amle, Sir Shlokish said to Rabbi Lazar, Chazi dalach samichna. I want you to know that I'm relying on you. So Taisa says that Rabbi Lazar was really not an expert. And even if he had not said Chazi dalach samichna, because as we're learning throughout our shiurim, if the person who is doing this is not an expert, then he'll always be chayiv. The reason, and Taisa says, because as we learned earlier, the only reason there was a discussion about Rav Chiya was because Rav Chiya was an expert, clearly indicating that if you're not an expert, then you're chayiv. However, the Rif and the Rambam say a very big chiddush, that even if you're asking a person who's not an expert, in our shiurim that we learned in our previous shiur and this shiur, a person who's not an expert, the Gemara said, will always be held responsible. It's only if the person says, Chazid alech samechna. You made it very clear that I'm relying on you. The very bechidish, but that's the opinion of the Rif and the Rambam. The Merich says on the contrary. He says, if the person is not an expert, he's always chayiv. By an expert, if you tell him that I'm relying on you, then even the expert will be chayiv. If you don't say to an expert, so you have two things. You're an expert, and you didn't, the person you're showing the coin to is an expert, and also you didn't say, Chazid alech samechna, so then you'll be potter. So again, says the Gemara, Rish Lakish said to Rav Elazar, Chazid alech samechna. Amalei, says the Gemara, Kisim chasulai maile memra. What are you telling me? What was the purpose of you making this statement? So he said the reason was the mishtak bisha be'enei lechlufilach, that if it, at the end it's going to make, we're going to see that you made a mistake, I will have to give you a new coin. Va'at Amrit, says the Gemara, but you are the one that says, Remehu the Don Dina the Gami, as we've been discussing, when the damage is, and we'll speak in a moment again, what makes Garmi different than a regular Mazik, but the Poshut Pshat is when he didn't do the actual damage to the object that got damaged, Remeya says that Yechayiv. So isn't that indicate, my love, Remeya. Remeya holds that Yechayiv for Gami, V'loy Sirlan Kavasei, but I don't agree with Remeya. Amalei, Loi. So Rish Lakish said, that's not what I meant to say. Remeya, Remeya holds that Yechayiv for Gami, V'Sirlan Kavasei, and I actually agree with Remeya. There's a machlokes rishonim. As we speak about Garmi, there are many questions that come up. The first question is the Remeir, and now the Gemara is saying that Rish Lakish holds like Remeir. Is Garmi a Daraisa or Garmi a Knas Drabonin? Opinion of the Ramban is that Garmi is a Chiv Daraisa. The opinion of the Ritzva and the Riva is that it's a Knas Drabonin. And that too is the opinion of the Shach. But, says the Shach, that even though we've learned in our Masechta so many times that Moed B'Knas is Potter, this Knas is a different type of Knas. And even a person who's Moed on a Garmi, it's like an act of Hezek. And we learned that if somebody is Moed that he was Mazik, he's going to be Chayef. If somebody was Moed on a Garmi, he'll be Chayef. What will be the nafgamina, if it's the raisa, if it's a chiv deraisa, or it's only a knas drabonah, says the grob, what would be if the halacha, the person who caused this damage, passed away? If it's a chiv deraisa, then the yarshim will have to pay what their father owned. But if it's a knas drabonah, the children would not have to pay. It's a knas on the person who did it, not to be passed on to the Yarshim. Moreover, says the Rabbanon, if it's a Rabbanon, then if the person made the Garmi with Bishayig, so since it's a knas, and the person only did it Bishayig, he will not be Chayiv. But if it's a Daraisa, then Adamud Loilam, we don't differentiate by Mazik between a Shayig and amaze it. But the Ritzva says that even, which the Ritzva is saying it according to his opinion, that even if we'll say that Garmi is a Drabonon, it could be that you'll be Chayiv B'Shoyig, just like Rameya in different places in Halacha we find applies a Knas Drabonon, even B'Shoyig, it could be he'll apply that Halacha by Garmi, which is a Drabonon. What is a Garmi? Or in what way is a Garmi different than a regular act of Hezek? So there are a number of ways how to identify it. Because as we've learned in our sugyas, there's Mazik, a very important part of learning our Masechta. And then there are three different exemptions. One is a Hezek Sheneniker, where it's not noticeable. Then we have Groma, and then we have Garmi. So the Nevukhi Yosef explains that Hezek Shena Nikar is where the object that was damaged doesn't have any physical change. The best example that we've been learning is Chametz after Pesach. Chametz after Pesach looks like Chametz before Pesach. That's why we learned, you could say, Arei Shalchol Fanecha. Garmi is something where you can see the damage, and it's certain that there was damage. But the Mazik did not do damage via daima. He didn't physically cause any damage. Our Gemara, that where somebody said that the coin is a good coin, where it's not a good coin. So he didn't do anything to the coin. And a Groma is where it's not for certain that what he's going to do will have caused damage. So that's what the Ramban says is the main difference between a groma and a garmi. A garmi is where the damage will be certain, and a groma is where the damage will not be certain. The Rosh adds another element. The Rosh adds an element that by Garmi, the damage begins immediately, and Groma begins later. And then the Nemukei Yosef says that which is similar, that Groma is part of the definition of Groma, he says, is that there was a delay. And when there's no delay, he says that's considered Garmi. There's also a famous opinion of Rashi, that Rashi says that Groma and Garmi travel together. We've been learning throughout this Masechta over and over again that Groma ben Nezakin is Potter. Says Rashi that that's only if you hold that Garmi is Potter. But if we're learning now that Garmi is Chayiv, the man da Omer that holds that Groma, that Garmi is Chayiv, is actually going to hold that Groma is Chayiv as well. That's how the Ramban explains the opinion of Rashi. The Shach also explains the opinion of Rashi that way. The Yamshel Shloima says he can't accept that we've learned so many times in our Masechta that Groma ben Zakin Potter. And now, says the Yamshel Shloima, to say, well, since we learned in our Sugya today that Garmi is Chayiv, so too will be Groma, he can't accept it. And that is the opinion of the Rosh as well. There are those that say, the Sna says that the Rambam also doesn't differentiate between Groma and Garmi. However, the Ktsoi says that certainly the Rambam does differentiate. Moreover, a big part of what we've been learning in our Masechta is that not only if a person does damage, are you chayiv, but if an animal does damage, you're chayiv. But says the Ramah that as much of a conversation we'll have about Garmi, are you chayiv or are you not chayiv for Garmi, everybody will agree that a behema, if an animal does damage, and then you wouldn't be chayiv for Garmi. There are so many different examples of what would be a case of Garmi. One question that I saw is, what would be if somebody is sitting next to somebody on a bus or on a train, and that other passenger fell asleep, and I want to do something not nice, and I tell this person, I wake him up, and I tell him, this is your stop. And of course, since the person was sleeping, and he's not certain, and he's not clear where he was, he just jumps off. And then, of course, it was the wrong stop, and he has now financial damage and all sorts of damage. He gets delayed. Is that considered Garmi? So the Cheshuki Chemed, who says that he quotes a Ramah, it's a Choshe Mishpat Simen Yud Dalet Sif Hei. If somebody tells somebody else that they're having a dispute with, let's go to a certain place to have a Din Torah. And he says to him, you go and I'll come afterwards. And now he never shows up. And the first person spent money in going there, so that's called Garmi. That person who caused them to go is considered a Garmi. So you see that if you cause the person to go where he didn't want to go, it's considered an act of Garmi. But then he says, it's not the same. Because there, the person who's traveling is only going there because I told him, you go, and I'll come as well. And then if I don't come, I had misled him. But in the case of a person who's sitting on the bus or the train, that person is obligated to be aware of where he is and when to get off and when not to get off. So what I did was, of course, wrong, but it's not definitely damage, because maybe he would have paid attention even if I woke him up. And therefore, he says that he's not certain if that's considered an act of Garmi, but he is certain that what this person did is the wrong thing. I saw that the Sefer Mishpatei Torah gives many different examples that he suggests, that he speaks about, are they or are they not considered Garmi? One is somebody bought a bread, a cake from a bakery, and then there was a stone in that baked good, and it caused him to break his tooth. And the person says, if you would have sifted the flour properly, examined the flour property, you would have taken out the stone. And to make this question even more interesting, the baker says, well, why should I be held responsible? The flour mill from where I bought the flour should be held responsible. So the Mishpatei Torah says that this is considered certainly a case of garmi, because a person who buys a baked good from a bakery has every right to have the expectation that what he's buying is doesn't have any stones in it, and he could bite into it and not be concerned that something's going to happen to him, and therefore he's going to be held responsible. Now there's another discussion he has. What if somebody goes to a pharmacy, he's not feeling well, and the pharmacist told him to take a certain medicine, and he took it, and that medicine actually had an adverse effect. So he says that the pharmacist, again, this is a case of garmi. It's no different than what we've been learning in our Gemara, that when you show, maybe even worse, when you show a coin to a money changer, the level of expectation is that the money changer is going to give you the right advice. And he gives you the wrong advice, then the halacha would be that the pharmacist would have to pay. However, let's say the pharmacist gave advice, but the person who asked for the advice did not disclose to the pharmacist that he has a certain condition. And had the pharmacist known that this person has this condition, he wouldn't have given him the advice. So then we can't hold the pharmacist responsible. Similarly, if the patient asks the pharmacist that I want a certain medicine, then the halacha is, and that medicine is not helpful to this patient because of the other condition that he has. So the right thing to do is that the pharmacist, so now if the pharmacist doesn't know that this patient suffers from this ailment, of course the pharmacist is not responsible. How is he to know, and why is he to be held responsible? But let's say the pharmacist is aware that this person has this ailment. He still can't be chayiv, because the patient asked specifically for this medicine. But the right thing to do is that the patient, that the pharmacist should tell him on his own, well, I know you suffer from this disease. You should know that this medicine is not good for this disease. A patient, this was all a pharmacist. But if a patient comes to a doctor and tells the doctor, well, I think I'm suffering from this disease, and the doctor prescribes the medicine, and the doctor did not first check the patient and see if he truly does have that disease. So the Mishpatei Torah says that there's a very big difference between a pharmacist and a doctor. A pharmacist is really here to tell a patient, is really here to deliver medicine to patients according to medical advice. Whereas a doctor is not just here to dispense medicine. A doctor is here to check the patient and if just not accept what the patient says. And therefore, if the doctor didn't first check and just accepted whatever the patient told him, he says the doctor will be held responsible for just accepting whatever the patient said. There are many other examples of garmi. Unfortunately, the time does not allow to go into it. So we just learned that Rav Meir taught us that there's a halacha of garmi. And not only has Rav Meir taught us that there's a halacha of garmi, the Gemara wants to say, from where do we know Rav Meir holds that way? Ask the Gemara, hey, Rav Meir, where do we find Rav Meir teaching us that there's a halacha of garmi? Ilayma Rav Meir, the Dalet Lamed Mem Pei Simen. The Mishnah in Masechta Bechoros, Daf Chof Ches Amud Beis, teaches us. Donas Adin, if there's a din Torah, and the dayan paskin the shayla zika sechayev, and the person who is supposed to be guilty was exonerated. You're not going to have to pay. Or for, on the weather, or the other way, chayev is a zakai. Timei sator, he made something which is tamei tahor or tahor tamei masha asui. Whatever he paskind is accepted. However, v'shalom beisoi, he has to pay for the damage that he did. So, of course, the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says, how do we have a situation of donas hadin with a person paskind the shiloh on his own? So the Gemara says, it's referring to a situation that he, both parties to this din Torah, accepted that whatever he says, we shall do. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin discusses that there's two types of mistake that a dying can make. There's something which is Tar B'dva Mishnah, and there's Tar B'Shikol Adas. The difference between Tar B'dva Mishnah and Tar B'Shikol Adas is Tar B'dva Mishnah is he made a mistake that he forgot, or he overlooked, explicit halacha. The din, when somebody makes that type of a mistake, is that the din is chayzer. We could redo the entire din Torah. So if somebody made that kind of an error, says the Gemara, that's not what we're speaking about here. Because if somebody made that kind of error, we're just going to do the whole din Torah over again. However, the mistake that's being referred to here, says the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, is a tos b'shikol hadas. A tos b'shikol hadas is that the person made a mistake that there are two opinions. There's no explicit halacha like one of the two opinions, but most paskin like one direction, and he went in the other direction. So that's the type of din Torah where we don't do over the din Torah. But even though we don't do over the din Torah, the dayan who paskined incorrectly is going to be held responsible. So Gemara is saying that that should be the precedent from where Rameya took the halacha of Garmi. But says the Gemara, Hoyet Malah, haven't we learned there, Amar of Illa Amar Rav, for who should not tell the Nosan Biyad, that the reason the dayan is held responsible over there is that he took the money himself and gave it to the wrong party. So that's not Garmi, that's an act of Hezek. Elo, says Harameya, the Tanan, we're going to learn in Amud Beis that if somebody gave dye to somebody to dye his garment, and he told him, Litzbaylai Edoim, to dye it red, Vitzava Shachar Vitzava Edoim, he didn't follow instructions. Rameya Amar, Noisloy Demet Samroi, the person who dyed the garment incorrectly has to pay for the wool. We will, Amit Hashem, be discussing extensively what that means. So says the Gemara, that also is not a good precedent. Because Hasam Kavod B'Yadayim, the person did an act of mazik. He colored the garment with the wrong color. Says, so Taisus asked the question, isn't that obvious? That somebody who colors the beggar the wrong color is Ovid B'Yadayim. What was the Gemara's Havaminim? So Taisa says that when you put the wrong color, it doesn't right away take. And as we've been learning, we said it a few moments ago, that it had to be considered a Garmi, the damage has to happen immediately. Here, it didn't happen immediately, and that's why maybe it's not considered an act of Garmi. Al-Harameya, says Gemara, this halacha that Rameya said, the Tanan, the Mishnah Masech, the Kalayim, Perek Zayin Mishnah Dal teaches us, HaMasachnes Gafna Agaba Tvu Shel Chaveroi, if somebody put his grapevine on top of somebody else's wheat, Hareza Kiddush, he makes it into Kalayim, V'chayiv, and he's chayiv to pay for the damage, because of course we're not allowed to eat Kalayim. If there is a ratio of less than 200 to 1. Says the Gemara, that's not Garmi. Pasam Nami Kavod B'Yadayim. There he did it immediately. There he did it. And again, the same teretz will come up here, that the damage doesn't happen by itself. It doesn't happen immediately, and that's why the Gemara wants to say it's not considered garmi. But then the Gemara says, since this person did it actively, we can't bring a raya from a situation of garmi. Says the Gemara, Ela harameya, this rameya, the Tanya, b'chitzas agerim, if there's a fence separating between two people's property, one person is growing grain and one person is growing grapes, and that mechitza was broken, shenifritza, and now since the two fields are, there's no separation, we could end up with a situation of kalayim. Oimaloi, if the owner of the field of the tfua tells to the owner of the field of the kerem, gedor, make a fence, so because there shouldn't be any climb here, and then he says nifritza, and he fixes it, and emiloi gedor, and again he tells it to him, and the person didn't do what he was told, so the person who didn't put up the fence, hareza kidesh, is created a situation of klayim, and he's going to be held responsible. So the Rosh explains that here too is considered an act of garmi, because as soon as the fence goes down, that person will be held, klayim begin immediately. So the question is, as long as the Gemara says, Nisyashimenu v'loy gadra, if he doesn't put up the fence, but it seems that if he starts putting up the fence, or we see that he's going to put up the fence, he shall not be held responsible. And the question is, why should he not be held responsible? If he didn't put up the fence, then there's klayim immediately. So the Rishonim explain, as long as it is the intention of this person to put up the fence, even though he didn't put up the fence immediately, that's enough that he should not be held responsible. That's enough that it should not be considered a situation of klayim. Only in a case where he has no intention of putting up the fence is it considered klayim. Earlier in our shiur, we spoke about lefnim l'shuras adin, din, and lefnim l'shuras adin. So there's a very interesting vort from the Steichemet. The Steichemet suggests that even though the Gemara, and we explained the said, that lefnim l'shuras adin we're not obligated to do, we quoted the Ramah that says we can't force somebody to do something lefnim l'shuras adin. Says the Steichemet, that's only when it's a situation of an adam l'makayim. We can't force a person to do something that the halacha does not require that he should do. But ben adam l'chamakayim. But when we're dealing with a situation of ben adam l'chaveroi, says the Steichemet, we don't have such an exemption. A person, when he's dealing with other individuals, has to go lefnim l'shuras adin. Says the Mishnah, as we just discussed this, hanoisin tseva l'tzava. If somebody gave wool to somebody who dyes the wool, v'gdicha yara, and the pot in which he puts the wool to absorb the color burnt the wool, noisin loy the meit samroi. He has to pay the value of the wool. Tzava kor, but let's say it didn't get completely ruined, but it's not nice. The color came out bad. So now the Mishnah says we make the following evaluation. Imash shavach yaser al yitziyah. So there's two considerations. One consideration is how much has the wool appreciated because now it's colored? And the other consideration is how much was spent in making and doing this. And says the Mishnah, we look at these two different numbers and we make a decision which we have to evaluate which is the higher number. If the appreciation of the wool is greater than the amount that was spent, so then you'll only have to pay how much was spent on coloring the wool. If on the other hand, if that is worth more, then you only give the value of the improvement. And now we have the case that we just learned in the Mishnah. The Tzvoy Le'edoim, if I asked him to color the wool red, the Tzava Shachar, and he did it, and he made it black, or vice versa, Tzava the Tzava Edoim, Remei Oim, and Noisen Leidei Tzamroi, you pay him the value of the wool. And the Pasha Pshat is, that Remei's opinion is, that Shinui Koina, this person who's coloring the wool, is considered a Gazlan, and since he's considered a Gazlan, as we've learned many times in our Shurim, if he makes a Shinui, it becomes the property of the Gazlan. Since it becomes the property of the Gazlan has to just give back what he received. What does he have to give back? He has to give back the value of the wool. Rabbi Huda says that he doesn't accept that the Gazlan, there's two ways of learning it. One way of learning it is that Rabbi Tam's approach, that even though there was a Shinui, since it was not his intention, the intention of this person to be kinder this wool, so he doesn't become the owner of the wool. The other explanation that Rashi suggests is because it's a knas that Chazal put on this person for having done this, and therefore, Rav Shuda says, the formula that we follow is the formula that we mentioned earlier. Im ha-shvach yesal yitzia, nois yitzia, v'mitzia yisera al ha-shvach, nois nois yitzia. We look at which is the lower number.